So we're actually entering the holiest time of the year for Jews right now, which is the time, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the new year and the day of repentance or atonement. And these 10 days are so sacred, and it's such a beautiful tradition because the idea is this, that on Rosh Hashanah, the heavens open, the skies are parted, God is watching up there, and the great book of judgment is open. This book is open for the next 10 days until Yom Kippur. So for 9-10 days from the new year, which is the chance to start a new chapter, a new beginning, to that day of judgment, the heavens are open, the book is opened, and you have a chance to redeem yourself. If you have done wrong during the past year, this is the time to ask for forgiveness. If you have wronged someone, this is the time to go to them and ask for forgiveness. If you feel that you have been wronged, it's a time to go and try and confront someone in a peaceful manner and just try and get understanding about all of this, because it's during these 10 days that you have a chance to be inscribed in that holy book in the heavens. So it's almost like the curtains are parted, the book is open, and if you could imagine God with a pen in his hand, all the people who have done well, who have been righteous during this year, get their name inscribed in that book. The thing is, on Yom Kippur, when you hear the shofar, you know, the end of, which is the ram's horn blowing, and the end of Yom Kippur, at the end of that day, and I'll say something else about it in a moment, but at the end of that day, the book is closed for another year, and that's it. So one of the great blessings, you know, when people, the wish is always l'shana tova, for a good year, Metuka, sweet year, but often the prayer is added, may your name be inscribed in the book. May you be written in the book. Oh, I have to remember it. I'm blind. I know it. I can't think of it right now. So may you be written in the book. Thing is, so this is a beautiful tradition, and during these 10 days, you see things, especially with children, and like in Israel, children learn this in Hebrew school, and they do little good deeds. You know, you're trying to start this new year right, but this is like, you can't just start a new year without measuring kind of what you did before. Judaism is very much into contemplation and self-knowledge. And it all culminates, these 10 days culminate in Yom Kippur. And this is known by different names, you know, the day of judgment, the day of atonement, the day of repentance. It's a day of fasting. Most Jews, even if they don't follow any other religious tradition or holiday, they know Yom Kippur. It's sometimes known as the saddest day of the year. It's not the time, it's a day of judgment, not a day when you judge other people. It's the day you judge yourself. You are supposed to be as if you're almost in mourning. You shouldn't be, the religious Jews don't shower. They don't wear leather. They wear sneakers. They don't shave. Men don't shave. Women don't wear makeup. It's a day to fast until the evening, and Jewish holidays begin, they go evening to evening. So the eve of Kippur, you have a meal with the family. It's a little more solemn than Rosh Hashanah. You know, Rosh Hashanah is festive, and you have apples and honey and everything to commemorate, you know, to symbolize fruits, harvest vegetables, everything to symbolize a new year. A new sweet year promises. Yom Kippur, now we're nearing the end of those 10 days, these 10 fraught days, you know, with all kinds of magic and mystery and things going on behind the scenes. That eve of Yom Kippur, it starts with the shofar. You sit down to a meal, and it's like almost like a last meal, because you know you won't eat again until the following evening after the shofar blows again. you know, to signal the end of Yom Kippur and the book closing. That's the end of it.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah, sure.
The shofar, that's at home? Is it in the synagogue?
In the synagogue, usually.
So is there a ritual shofar?
Yes. It's the ram's horn, that ancient. And it is, if you have it, you should play it for them, for students, because the sound of the shofar, still when I hear it, I get chills because it sounds so primal, so ancient. You know, you can imagine, like, you know, the early Jews blowing that ram's horn on a hilltop. Anytime I hear it, it's like I'm transported back to ancient Israel, you know, Canaan, even really the early days. It's so wild and mournful and raw and primal. It's all of these things. It's scary a little, you know, and it's like you feel it in your gut. You know, this is what religion was before civilization, before temples and churches and, you know, when we tamped it down. This is wildness.
So Yom Kippur begins and ends with that.
Yes.
The evening before, and then you eat, and no, you fast.
No. So here's what you do. You have that meal the eve before. You eat that meal, you go to bed. The next day, usually most Jews go to the synagogue to pray no matter how long. You know, very religious Jews will have gone there on the eve and will stay the whole day. Children and pregnant women and the sick do not fast. Older kids might fast half a day. You know, it depends. But there's always health and common sense are supposed to rule. You don't fast if you're ill or, you know, you need the food. So that day, even if you don't go to temple, if you're not in that place, it should be a day of contemplation of you and who you are and what kind of person you have been and what you want to become. It's judging yourself. Not in a harsh, terrible way, but in a way of just saying, like, it's man or woman face to face with themselves and no one else. This is really it's probably the most solemn day of the whole year. So you can't, you know, people who don't know will say happy Yom Kippur. It's not exactly, this is not a happy day, you know. It's a day of thought and of forgiveness of yourself at the end of the day. You know, hopefully you're making good resolutions. Hopefully you're thinking, you know, this is where I went wrong this past year. Hopefully this year I'm going to do better. To pray to God for help, to surrender to that spirit, and to, you know, think of what can you do to make life in the world better? You're not, this is you. This is really, that's why I think it's so important. It's like a day of just self-reflection, contemplation, judgment, and it's set aside officially. This is the day where you do that. The end of the day, the end of the prayers and everything are marked again with the blowing of the shofar. And it's like the book is closed for another year. You go home, you break the fast, you eat with your family, and now you're in the new year. And that's really what it is, this period.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any more questions or anything about it?
Just your name, who you are.
Ruth Seton, a writer, dreamer. Many times when you write to people during this time, during these 10 days, or send cards, you know, a lot of people send Happy New Year cards and all this stuff, you end it with, may you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. Ktiva vechatima tova. So ktiva, written, may you be written. Vechatima, it's like a signature or a sealing of it. And tova, good. So may you be written good in this book, not bad. You know, that's the wish. Right before Yom Kippur, this is what you often hear too, Gemar Chatima Tova. It's kind of, may your finished sealing be good. May it, again, because Yom Kippur, it's the end of that period. So may it finally be, you know, be sealed. And it's a wish for a good year ahead, but may you be written positively in this book. So that's
a sealing.
Really, that's a sealing. It's like sealing it. And with Yom Kippur, it sort of seals it into that book.
Okay, two questions.
Sure.
One, you talked about the days of awe. Can you say a word about that?
That's what these 10 days are. When I was telling you, it's this magical period. I would not want to say magical, but it is. It's a period of wonder. When it's like, you know, when you look at pagan sort of holidays, Samhain or something, it's like the heavens are opened. And things are apparent that aren't apparent during other times of the year. It's a very symbolic time of year. Think about it. It's autumn. It's the beginning of autumn, which in many cultures actually makes more sense as the beginning of a new year rather than January. It's harvest time, and things are happening. Things are, you know, with the ground, with the earth, with harvesting and planting, and also with human beings.
Do you have special things you do in your own personal life, because you live a magical life anyway? Are there particular things that you do? Do you take more pictures?
I do. I love this time of year. It makes me a little bit sad because I know winter's coming. You know, I feel it's in the horizon, but it is so beautiful. And I feel myself, actually it is a days of awe for me. I was thinking about it last night, it's so strange, when I was writing, and thinking, this is the most creative time of the year for me. Things happen, like I feel boundaries blurring and curtains opening and veils tearing, and like seeing, I can see things that aren't always apparent. Maybe that's my personal thing, but I feel that it's a very, very potent time of year. And so it feels like a new year. It feels like promise. It feels like hope. That you can change. That things can. You're not, you know, here's the lovely thing about this, the days of awe. You feel wonder, you know, but and you feel this book. But there's always hope because, okay, so maybe this year wasn't the greatest year. Maybe this year you won't be inscribed good. But there's next year. It's year.
Can I be
year.
Jewish during these coming 10
you're
days?
Not, you're not cursed forever. There's, you know, there's every year is a new book. It's like the book opens again, and you have a chance all over again to do it.
Okay,
and
I've got
love that.
I've got
that
one, actually two more questions.
Sure.
Now, they keep arising. Is there any moment where you have gone to someone that you've wronged during the past year, or someone has come to you that you could share briefly about? Not, I mean, I realize that's a real intimate.
Yeah.
But does that happen?
Yes, it definitely happens. Sometimes you get a note. You try to mend fences because you don't, during these days, you want to heal like cracks.
Okay.
And like tikkun.
Yes.
You know, you want to put things together because the year goes on and it's busy. And
it's a way of ending that year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a way of ending it on a good note. Even if, you know, maybe you didn't do great, but you can try to make things as positive as possible, and you can think about ways that to make next year better.
Has there ever been, as part of criminal justice or mass incarceration, related to the releasing of crimes? Do you know in the history of Judaism or various jurisprudence?
That's a great question. I don't.
Okay. I'm thinking of indigenous, because there are structures there for
pulling people back into the community. It feels to me like
there must be
something in the history, probably in the Talmud somewhere.
I'm sure.
Right?
Everything's in the Talmud.
Everything is in the Talmud.
I am sure there is, because this sounds like something that all the rabbis and thinkers and philosophers, they would have come up with something, some way of doing this.
That of restoring.
Ritualizing that.
Yeah.
Restoring. There, you know, there are so many, like, there is the return, the concept of returning, someone who's been, like, away and returns and they're back in the fold, or aliyah, you know, rising, when you rise make a prayer at the temple or something. It's called an aliyah.
So you're lifting the prayer, sort of thing.
Yeah, and you rise yourself. To touch the Torah. And the, you know that when you go to Israel, you make aliyah?
Well, of course,
you rise,
because you always go up to Jerusalem.
You rise up to go to Israel, and when you leave Israel, you descend back to the world.
So the return is an aliyah.
It's an aliyah. You're rising. It's symbolic. Again, it's just kind of the language, but look how so important. You rise to go to Israel. You descend to come back. You rise to make, when people pray, you know, or when they do a ritual prayer, like somebody invites you to share their happy occasion, a wedding, or even a sad occasion, but they invite you to do a prayer on the dais?
Yeah, the bema. Yeah, of course.
And it's called an aliyah because you're rising up there.
That's lovely.
That's really lovely. Yeah.
Okay, one last question. I assume there's a formal liturgy for the Yom Kippur service.
Oh, yeah.
Is that pretty stable throughout, or is it different depending on Reformed or Orthodox or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like the Orthodox will be much longer.
And you have to stand through it, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. The Reform is going to be much shorter.
But it's still a ritualized thing.
It's ritualized, and there's also Ashkenazi and Sephardic.
Of course.
They're going to have their own
traditions.
Music and traditions.
Okay.
And, depending on what country, because Jews always absorb things, so that in each country you go to, you're going to find different variations
of the liturgy. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Since we've got music accompanying us, we probably will stop.